the analogy between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah is the forest, and Yom Kippur is clearly the trees. Yom Kippur is very, very specific. We make this list, you know, the very exhaustive lists. And you, first you have Chazal gave us a period of the vidui of the 22 Hashamnus, 44 Al-Chaitz, a few other things thrown in here and there for good. And then Baruch Hashem, like, you know, good to Yidden, so we get the Chidor comes along and he takes the 22 Hashamnus and makes it about, you know, 200 and something. And then, not to be outdone, somebody else has to come along with, you know, with another few hundred on top of that. So that's clearly the trees. Rosh Hashanah, we don't talk about here at the Chet B'chlal. It's a shalom halacha. We even say Chatan l'fanecha, v'yom akein Chatan l'fanecha, Rosh Hashanah. Or according to halacha, Mishabura says that you have in mind, Abu Senu Chatan l'fanecha, but... That's our thought process. So Rosh Hashanah Pashat, it's like the forest to the nth degree, and Yom Kippur it's the trees to the nth degree. But they're one unit, and you can't go from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur just like overnight, like this. Like, what was Rosh Hashanah and what is Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur is the process of change, right? To say that Rosh Hashanah isn't the process of change, that's incorrect. Rosh Hashanah is clearly a process of change. It's the change in our relationship and our attitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have a sweet English sefer where he quotes somebody without saying the name. I'm assuming just from the conversation and knowing who the person was, it's referring to Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal. He says, if you look at the Lusach of the Rambam, in the Vidui, throughout the Rambam, in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, the Rambam says that the mitzvah is Hisvadas Lifnei Hashem. And that's very clear in Halacha, that's really Mavusas in the Gemara. Vidui has to be said during Shemoneh Esrei. Why is Vidui said during Shemoneh Esrei? Because Halacha, the Rambam says that Shemoneh Esrei is Amida Lifnei Hashem. It's the moment a person stands in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Vidui B'davka has to be said in Shemoneh Esrei, because it should be said where you're Amida Lifnei Hashem, which is Tefillah, which is in Shemoneh Esrei. Matter of fact, the going says like Kerekach, you should not say the pasuk of Yilrotz and Imrefi before the Vidui, because Yilrotz and Imrefi in Halacha is a step down from the process of Shemoneh Esrei, and Vidui has to be said in Shemoneh Esrei. So if you say Yilrotz and you are stepping down, but you're stepping away, as it were, from the moment of immediately Lifnei Hashem. So the concept of Vidui Lifnei Hashem, the Rambam says it in the Minyan Mitzvah and in the Sefer, but it's not. It's not the Rambam, it's already clear in Halacha. Vidui is said in Chazaras HaShatz. It's Vadafka said in an oifen of immediately Lifnei Hashem. The Rosh Hashanah is the moment of immediately Lifnei Hashem. So the emotion of Rosh Hashanah, of the immediately Lifnei Hashem, that we met the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we recognized him as our Avinu and Malkeinu, our Father and our Master. Right? So now, from that vantage point, I now can say Vidui. Now that I stand in front of him, I've absorbed that message, I can say Vidui. Vidui not just being the point of saying the Vidui, but the point that, and the Rama says, you say Vidui, you have to say Chirata, and you have to say Kabbalah, you have to make Kabbalah al HaBoha. And the Rama's lashon is that you have to express in the Vidui these thoughts that you've had. The thoughts of Chirata and the thoughts of Kabbalah Lahaba. Now, our Vidui Kamat always just seems to focus on the Chirata part. Right? That I feel bad that I've done X. Chatotzi, Avisi, Pshati. We sort of picture it as the same thing when I go over to somebody and I admit that I've done something wrong. So I said, you know, I've really done something bad to you. I very rarely have had a conversation with somebody where I came to apologize. I said, you know, by the way, this is my plan for the future. This is how I'm planning to do it. And, therefore, I'm fully confident that I will never do it again. And therefore, please be mochel me. All right? I would like to believe, which is actually brought down in Halacha, that I mean that, because if I don't really have a plan not to do it in the future, and if I don't plan, and if I'm not pretty confident I won't do it in the future, why should the person want to be mochel me? So listen, I said lashon hara about you. I've besmirched you all over the city. I've wiped your name through the mud. I'm not sure I'm going to stop doing that again, but please be mochel me. That's ridiculous. why would the person want to be meichel you? And actually, the halacha says he's not mechuyev to be meichel you, right? That you're not mechuyev to be meichel. Somebody asks that halacha, and somebody comes to mechayes you for mechila. If you believe he's not sincere, that he's going to do it again, you're not mechuyev to be meichel him. I mean, you could if you want to. That's my love, Victor, etc. But I don't necessarily express it. But honestly, if I've really done something wrong, which I really understand how bad it is, and I understand how incorrect it was to the person, I would want to say that. You know, please be Michael me. Usually our formula for Mechila goes like this: please be Michael me. Four words, right? Now, if the guy was honest, the first question would be, what did you do? The second question is, why should I be Michael you? If we'd have a real conversation, the person would say, what do you do? Well, I did X to you. He says, so convince me why I should Michael you. Well, because I'm not going to do it again. So our vidui has to be real. The vidui has to be that the human being is really coming along and saying, I really have a plan how I'm going to change. So I know there's a mabit. The mabit says that tshuva is unique, that whereas we know by the dalad minim, let's say according to the Rambam, there are four parts of tshuva. There's the harata, the kol al haba, Barsham is meyed, he's not going to do it again, and the vidui. So it's four parts. So he says, by Dalaminim, there's also four parts. So this year Esther was very expensive. I said, I was able to get a cheap lulav and hadassim and rabbis. So I said, okay, no Esther, that's ridiculous. It's the mark of each other. You can't take Dalaminim with only 3 minutes. By tshuva, it's not like that. Each part of tshuva has some element of tshuva involved in it. That being said, it's very clear that the vidui is to be said after you've done tshuva. If you look at the Ben Yarna, in Shar Aleph, the Ben Yarna says that the process of tshuva, he says, there's charata, and he only actually has three parts. Charata, kabbalah lahaba, and vidui. Which one should go first? Charata or kabbalah lahaba? So he says, depends. A person who's going on a good path, and one time he messes up, his feeling should be charata. Charata, I've never done this before. Why did I do it? I really feel bad that I've done it. He basically is in a path where he's not going to be doing this. No reason why he believes he's going to be doing this. So why is what's his issue? His issue is that he feels bad that he did it. That's it. Good. But a person is in a path which is not appropriate. He's not working. It's not working right. So the first step of tshuva is to fix the path. Now, obviously, you needed some level of charata. Like, why should I change? Well, no reason. Just why not? Obviously, that's not going to work. I mean, I've decided this is not a good idea. I recognize it's not good for me. I recognize it's not good for the people around me. I recognize it's not good for the Kadosh Baruch Hu, for the world. I want to change. Okay, what's your plan? How are you going to change? Then, at some point, you say, yeah, well, I really feel bad about it. That's beautiful. Okay, but so it's not tshuva. You haven't returned. If you haven't corrected, you haven't returned. I really feel bad about it. That's beautiful. Right? So I'm not going to ever speak Lashon Hara again. It's horrible to speak Lashon Hara. I've really come to recognize it's horrible to speak Lashon Hara, and it's great. So I said, no. I've thought about I learned all of the Musa that Mechabot Chaim has about Lashon Hara, the whole Sefer Shemir Lashon. I memorize it. I know about Valpeh. I can spout it back to you in my sleep. I feel horrible that I've done it. But I have no plans how to stop it. So do you really believe you're not going to speak Lashon Hara again? No, you probably aren't going to speak Lashon Hara again. Right, because you go home from Ben Zmanim, and or you go to the supper tonight. How was it, Rangel Shmuz? Well, it could have been better. Boom, boot again. I feel so bad that I did that. Come on, let's be realistic. We know that we have triggers which make us speak Lashon Hara. It was okay that I missed the shmuz. Yeah, it was nothing chashi. Just talk about tshuva. Yeah, I always speak about tshuva. Come on, I know the lines, I was a bacher once upon a time also, So if you have a plan, you haven't done tshuva. So what do you think vidui about? So there's something called vidui peh. Vidui peh is you recognize the fact that you said vidui without doing tshuva. Right? So it's pretty sad that we should go through this vidui and and use it incorrectly, because it's just going to end up being wrong. So we have to have a plan. Now, what the Chiddush of Tshuva is all the way around, what the Ben Bitt is saying, is that even if you haven't solved the problem totally, you made some solution to the problem, That's what he's doing mechadash. That's also called tshuva. I don't have a solution to all my problems. Yes, I have one friend, which whenever I meet him, I always end up speaking lashon hara. I can avoid him as much as possible, and I will try to avoid him this coming year, but there's points are going to be inevitable, and yes, whatever reason, he just pushed my buttons, and I always end up speaking lashon hara by him. Okay. Do I need, so therefore, not correct anything I can do about lashon hara? So he says, Lanta talks about that in every aveira, you have the heavy ones, the kvedis, and the light ones, the kalas. There are areas where it's easier to correct ourselves and to do it right, and the ones which are harder. As long as we've done tshuva on the kalas, even if we haven't done tshuva on the kvedis, we've done tshuva. We've corrected ourselves to some extent. He builds it up based on the Gemara. The Gemara talks about the Marsham gives a different punishment for not putting the wearing the loven part of the tzitzis and not wearing the tchelis, because tchelis is much more expensive, so we can sort of make an argument why it's hard for a person to not to wear tchelis. It's hard to lay out that type of money for tchelis, right? But loven, what's your excuse? So Barashim treats loven differently than he treats tchelis. So Barashim takes on the cheshbon how hard it is. So let's do tshuva, at least in that area. One of my rebbeim said you have to add a kenach to it. It's not enough to say that it's just, listen, Lashon Hara, he'll do that. Like, Lashon Hara with Yankel, that's, that I'm not changing. Yankel and I get through them together, we have a good time, we really live it up, we have a Lashon Hara party, and Skabaldik, The rest of you, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. That you can't say either. You can say, it's on my goal, it's something which I would like to do. I recognize that it's hard. I wish I could do it, but I recognize that that's not realistic at this point in my life. And trying to go too far means you end up with nothing. So that's not what I'm working on right now. It's something which I will work on down the road, Bezat Hashem, at some point in my life. And we would like to believe that if a person if he doesn't eradicate his Lashon Hara with Yankel, but he's very good at getting rid of the Lashon Hara with Beryl and Shmerel, probably that'll change that into Lashon Hara. Maybe even Yankel will be doable at some point in his life, right? Whether it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever it is, that's fine. So he said it's like a down payment on a house. Right? I bought a house. I get a whole house. I don't pay for the whole house at one time. I pay for a little bit, and I get a house with expectation. I'm going to pay off the rest over a period of time. So the Bereshit says, I'll take a down payment. If you can correct some areas of this Aveira, and you can truly correct it, that's down payment. I'll give you credit as if you bought a house. You did tshuva. But I do expect, at some point in time, we would like to see the movements. Vanyarna has a safer... Rainier has a kuntras, which nowadays comes as a zefer. I'm very impressed sometimes with the ability to do these things. The kuntras is about 4 pages long, and you get a whole sefer out of it nowadays. It's called Yisoda Tshuva. Historically, actually, it was printed sometimes as called Soda Tshuva. And there's, after doing research, apparently they came back that probably the correct name is Yisoda Tshuva. And he says, I want to tell you what he says, but before I tell you what he says, I want to tell you something else that he says. There, in the, he talks about how to do tshuva. And he gives a very nice process how to do tshuva. But he says, if you follow this path, so you're not there, it'll take time to get there. You should know that he says, even a person in this path would be nifter b'chatzi yamav. Rashi gives him schar as if he lived his whole lifetime and accomplished everything this path will lead him to. Because this path is a path which apidarech hateva works. And the fact that Rashi took the person away early is not a reason to mekapeach his schar and take away his schar as if he got a full lifetime and he accomplished everything which he could have accomplished with this path. So he says, what's his path? He says... He's really done bad. And he wants to correct himself. Therefore, it says, I'm going to enlighten you with what to do. Throw it away. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. I was born today. Right? What I've done wrong now until now is wrong, but I'm not thinking about that. It's push it off the table. Zeh Yom Tchilas Masav. Today is the beginning. My goal for today is to do today well. As a matter of fact, he says, I'll make it even lighter. He says, but before he gets that, he says, Yosim Drach, he should be doing this process of Somer Chesov. I'm going to get it right today. Now, when he does this, he's thrown away this tremendous burden which is pulling him down, because if you think about your Averis, it's so heavy, you can't function. You get stuck in the past. I mean, you have to picture it. I mean, we don't relate to Avera as this, in the reality that Rishonim related to Avera. But imagine a person, he was a Ganef. He was a Goslin, he was a bandit, he killed people. One day he says, I'm going to do tshuva. So the Yetzer comes to him and says, you, tshuva, you know how many people you've killed? You know how many people's lives you've disrupted? The wives, the children, people's lives, they died from poverty. You know what you've done? You can't do tshuva. He's stuck in the past. Bershon says that even that person can do tshuva. He says, the first step is forget about yesterday. Focus on today. Now what he does is, he starts describing the Leishar's Lashon. He says, that how can I have the chutzpah to go to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Look what I've done, and I've done it so many times, and I can tell you the list, and I can tell you how bad it is. You know, I pull out my full chidah. And I say, Rosh Hashanah, this is me, I'm such a mess, I can't do tshuva. Right? That's what the chidah does for us. I'm not denigrating the chidah. The chidah didn't react like that. But for us, that's what's going to happen. If I honestly go through that list, and I mark up the half, forget about the whole list, I mark up the half which is relevant to me. Because you shouldn't say Vita and things aren't relevant to you. You know, yes, it's brought down to be Kabbalah, you should not be mistakel in the Levana. I don't think you should say Vita on that. I feel bad. Because you don't feel bad. And you're probably going to look at the Levana again. I have to pass in the Halacha Shabbat. Somebody asked me, you're allowed to look at the eclipse, looking at the Levana. Okay, whatever. Right? I said, you're really looking at the sun. Okay. So you get rid of half of it. But if you really take that list seriously, it's pretty depressing. So Ben Yarna is boishti lama lefan of, I'm done, he says, fine. He says, move behind that. So he says, kacha yasabiyam terosu. The day that you woke up, he said, you know what, I want to change. So you stop the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, on Hashem, okay, you saw Chatosi Vishipshati, Kiyosus, Zisi, Miyam, Yosi Adam, Ariam, is that. But in the son of Libi, with a double Nobaruch, Yosi, Losha, Velecha, Beham, Esolisham. I want to change. Please help me to change. But Hashem, Lokai, Pesach Yad Betshuva, Messiah, Leboy, and Litar, Pesach Yod, Kablan, Betshuva, Shem, Lefanecha, Messayen, Liskazak, Beyosacha. Help me change. I need help. I recognize. Vazveni Negat, Sotan, Nilcham, Alai, Betachbulois. You don't have help. Then he says like this, what you want to do is divide your day into four parts. From the time you wake up until breakfast. I'm not getting involved in some people that there's a very short period of time between those two. But, right, for people who get up for the Deer Shemin, right, say share beforehand, right? So you get up at 4:30, you only breakfast till a few hours later. So you have a few hours. It's the first unit, right? From breakfast to lunch, from lunch to supper, and from supper you go to bed. There's four times in a day. So your goal is to get unit number one right. I'm not thinking about the other three units, I'm thinking about today. I'm thinking about right now, for the next three hours, I'm going to try and do it as best as I can. It says, if you get to breakfast and you did it, leisa oichel yisvada. Say, Brashan, thank you for helping me get it right. And if you didn't get it right, you say, Brashan, I feel bad that I didn't get it right. I will try and get it right the next time. And now from breakfast until lunch, I'm going to do better. Now, it takes a tremendous kayachas and nefesh to be able to do that. Because, again, the Yetzirah says, listen, I understand you from yesterday backwards, but this morning you said you'd do better, and you didn't do better. Ha ha. So the biggest challenge of I believe, is the guy who didn't get it right from the morning. Forget about yesterday. Okay, we can live with that. Yeah, the guy says, I murdered 75 people. I destroyed 4 million people's lives. Yeah, I can put it behind me. But this morning I killed somebody. Now what do I do? You see, I can't change. I think that's a bigger challenge. And if you get it right, he says, appreciate 1 hour of tshuva. Appreciate what that means. Because you're also in a broker about that, then you'll do it again. Do this at Chodesh or at Shana till those areas which you wanted to correct become so establishing you that's behind you and you move on to something else. So the step number one is when the Baalei Mussar talk about making a small Kabbalah, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about you're not undertaking many things. You're going to make a real change. One thing, two things. You're going to say the definition of what I was before does not define me. I'm going to change now. And then you're going to put a plan in place to recognize what are your challenges. So we gave an example. Yankel is my problem. Yankel is a person who pushes my buttons and I speak a Lashon Hara. What am I going to do about Yankel? What's my plan for him? What's my plan for non-Yankel? So maybe my plan for Yankel is to avoid Yankel. Write him a dear Yankel letter and say, dear Yankel, nice knowing you. I don't ever see you again in my life. Maybe that's the solution. If that's a person, someone deals with you, you say, listen, so what happened to you? You listen to Rav Rangel Shmuz in the Tshuva? I said, yeah, okay, what's wrong? If we're honest about this, we really want to change. It's important enough to us. We spoke about, Rosh Hashanah, that the goal of Rosh Hashanah is to make you hungry. It's to make you hungry for change. That you really want to change. You say, Brasham, I have a relationship with you. It's a wonderful relationship. I appreciate it so much. I don't like living like this. I'm not happy the way I am. I want to change. Okay, do you really want it? Okay, so what is your goal? What are these obstacles that you're going to have in your goal? What are the obstacles that you've had until now? What is your plan to overcome the obstacles? What is the reward that you're going to give yourself when you overcome those obstacles? Or avoid the obstacles. What's the plan that you're going to put in place that when you hit an obstacle, you're going to pick yourself up again and go weiter? That's all what Seder Yom Teshuva is for. Seder Yom Teshuva is for, okay, I got to the point where I stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I basked in his presence. I felt the warmth. I'm hungry for change. I know that this is I'm much happier when I live like this. I wish I did not have these concerns. I don't want to have them. I truly do not want to have them. I'm ready to put them behind me. It's a brand new year. I'm ready to say, that was my life until now. This is a new life. I'm a new and improved Eli Rheingold. Tav Shanayin Ches is a new brand, right? New brand car. It's Lexus, It's a new Lexus. And I really want to change. I really want to be different. So, good. What is your plan? Pick two areas, three areas. And in that area, pick the lighter ones. And then make a real plan. It takes time. This is Basil Sharm 101. You need a cheshbon and nefesh. You need a cheshbon. You need to document it. And you need to read your document. Okay, this is what I want to do different this year. This is what I'm going to do. This is my plan. Okay, I'm going to learn 75 hours a day this coming year. Don't do that. I'm going to learn the first 30 minutes of Seder. I'm going to start my Seder off learning. Because I know when I start my Seder off learning, it works better. And I know that means that breakfast should be finished on time. Because if I roll into Seder, when the Seder is about to start, just then, my mind is mavul, and I end up schmoozing, and then things don't go the way I want to. Okay, that means I have to come to davening on time. Okay, that means I have to go to sleep on time. So the root of my problem is not starting Seder properly, but the root of my problem is that I don't want to sleep on time. The root of that problem is I like to schmooze. Okay? Why do I like to schmooze so much? Because I like people to like me. So the root of my problem is I want to be recognized and accepted. Oh, so your root problem is not Seder on time. Your root of the problem is that you are a person who needs a lot of validation from other people. Why do you need that? What's bothering you? Because if you don't solve that problem, you're going to schmoozing late at night because that's guys will think you're great because you have such good stories. Well, you'll end up kind of dominating late, and then first again, it's not going to work. So you haven't solved your problem by making this beautiful couple. I will forever. It's not going to work. What's the plan? What is the problem? You can't make a plan until you figure out the problem. So you know what? I can't get over my validation issues. Not this coming year. Okay, fine. Can you minimize those? And decide that you'll get your validation by playing a good football game on Fridays with the guys. But at night times, you know, you're not going to shmooze so much. Okay, that's a plan. You have now done tshuva. And I can come to Yom Kippur and say, Rosh Hashem, yes, I've done many things wrong in my life, and I'm changing. I'm a different person. Like the Rambam says, I'm not the same person that I was before, because the person before was a person who needed 100% of validation, and I only need 90% of validation. So I'm a different person. That's an awesome reality. And the Rambam says, right there, this person beforehand was a person who was Meruch from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he was all these horrible Lashonis, and now he's all Lifnei Hashem, and his tefillah is Niskabel. It's a beautiful thing. All I had to do was make one real change. Because I made one real change, I'm not the same person. The Rambam says that the gzeira against the person, shinei hashem, what shinei hashem means, I'm not the same person. That was Rangel version 5777. This is Rangel version 5778, new version. There's no gzeira against me. This is Rangel version 5778 and 5 days. The gzeira is against the guy for 4 days. I'm a different person. I've changed. That's what the Rambam says. So that is what we need. And you need time for this. You need time to look honestly, okay, where is the areas which, you know, maybe there's areas which you don't, it's not so deep-rooted, and you really could change it more easily. So do those. And next year you'll do the things which are more deep-seated. But don't fool yourself, though. Right? If you have a problem coming starting to learn that because you schmooze at the beginning of Seder, if your problem is you sleep, you have a different problem. Why do you sleep so much? Because I'm lazy. No, maybe because you're depressed. That's why you sleep so much. Maybe because you don't sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's also a problem, right? Right? You're not sleeping so much. You need to shift your hours. But why? What's weighing me down? What's my problem? If I don't, and aside, I'm going to go to sleep on time every night. That's one of the most challenging Kabbalahs that exist. I once heard from Ramathi Shil Salam, he says he believes that many Gadol B'Yisrael was lost on the way to bed. He says one of the most important things in a Bachar's day is sleep. A good night's sleep. Because then you can function during the daytime. You'll have the strength to be in control of your life. And the Yisrael B'Dafka does not want to give you a good night's sleep because this way you're not in control of your life. Therefore, when he comes to say Lashon Hara, you do Lashon Hara. Whatever, etc., etc., etc. 8 hours of sleep. You get 8 hours of sleep, 11 till 7. Okay, mukzam. 11:30 to 6:30. 7 hours of sleep a night. Person, different person. I know I shouldn't talk. You know, I'm not the right person to talk about these type of things. But I'm also looking back at Charata. My time, I had a Charusa who slept 8 hours every night. And this person learned the whole day because he was fully rejuvenated, and he was very strong, and he was very focused, because he was healthy. So maybe that's I would have become a Talmud Chacham or something like that if I would have done that. Okay, it's time for Marv, time just to be sensitive to people who want to eat something. But it's time to think about, you know, the next few days, use them well. Push it. Real. It's not screaming, yelling. It's practical. Practical, intelligent, thought out. It's yosher. She was there because we do tshuva, and the tshuva she needs kabbalah.